Baptist owns it. Honor and glorify Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. He arose. All right, take your Bibles, if you would, tonight and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Glad to see you. A lot of the fathers came back tonight. How many of you fathers still love me? Say amen. All right, I'm glad to hear it. I might have lost one or two along the way somewhere, but I trust they'll get right before it's over. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Begin to read in verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. A verse of scripture you'll never hear a Church of Christ preach on. And he doesn't have the guts to preach on it, much less the knowledge to preach on what it means. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let's bow our heads as we begin the message tonight. Now, Father, we're thankful for the time that we've had tonight to worship Thee in song. We're thankful, Lord, that our spirits have been lifted, our hearts have been stirred. And, Lord, You've fed us spiritually by this time that we've had to worship You in song. We pray that the same spirit of liberty and freedom that we've felt in this song service would continue right on through the preaching of the Word tonight. We pray that nothing or nobody would be able to hinder the working of Thy Spirit tonight, that every evil or foul spirit would be put down. And, Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ would cover this assembly completely tonight. Clear our minds, our hearts of the things that would tend to distract from the message. And Lord, may our hearts and minds be completely in tune to the message and the things You want for us tonight. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit of God will oversee and undertake and take complete control of all that I say and do tonight. And Lord, in all that I say and do, may it lift up and magnify the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. I pray that You'd bless this message, speak to the hearts of people that are here tonight, and may this message be used as a means of instruction to those that are saved. And Lord, if there's anybody here tonight that's lost, I pray that before they leave this building, they'd trust Thee as their Savior. Bless and honor the living words of the living God, for it's in His name I pray and ask all these things. Amen. Now, when Paul writes here to this church at Corinth, he says some things to them and talks to them about some things. Now, when he writes to them in verse 10, he said, I would that you'd all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, when Paul writes to this church at Corinth, it's like a lot of the other churches that we have around the world today. This church had been having some trouble. Now, I've never seen any church that didn't have some kind of trouble somewhere along the line. Well, you say, I know where there's a perfect church. Well, do it a favor and don't join it, because you'll ruin it. Amen? You say, I know where there's a perfect congregation. I know where there's a perfect church. Don't put your name on the roll or it'll be messed up as sure as anything. Now, you won't find anything as such as a perfect local church down here, because there isn't anything such like that. I have people all the time looking, well, Brother Jim, when I find the right church that's got just everything like I believe and does everything just the way I want to do it and does everything just like I want it, then I'm going to join that church. Well, you may as well keep your letter in your pocket, because you're never going to put it on a church roll. Amen? You're never going to find a church that does everything just exactly the way you want it done. You're never going to find a church that pleases you in every situation and all time. You're never going to find a church that, whether you're the pastor of that church or whether you're a member of that church, that operates just the way you want it to all the time. Now, the best thing for you to do is to find you a church that believes the Bible, believes the Word of God, and has a preacher that teaches and preaches it, and is in line with the main things in the Word of God. Get in that church, join it, and support it in every way you possibly can. We got too many sorry Christians floating all around the country that are a member of nothing, belong to nobody, and won't take a stand, and will not join hands with other Bible believers in a church to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. If every Christian in this town that was saved and born again associated theirself with a Bible-believing church and did something in that church, we could take the town of Pensacola and shake it upside down for Jesus Christ. Now, I don't care what town or what city if you're from, if every person in that town was saved and believed the Bible, was associated with a Bible-believing work and doing something for God, they could make a stir and really make something in that town for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this church had some trouble. Every church has trouble. Baptist churches are notorious for splitting. They have problems. Now, what do they split over? It's always a deep thing that they split over. Somebody wanted the piano on this side, and somebody else wanted the piano on that side. Because the piano was over here instead of being over there, and she didn't get her way, her feelings got offended. And you know how important feelings are. I mean, you know how important feelings are. When you get your feelings hurt, you might as well stomp out of that church and leave. Amen? I mean, you just may as well move your letter. I mean, he hurt my feelings. Me. Important me. I mean, he actually hurt my feelings. Isn't he kind? Isn't he considerate? Doesn't he like people? I mean, my feelings were hurt. That flower arrangement. Boy, that's the sorriest flower arrangement I've ever seen in my life. If they don't change the flower arrangement in that church, I'm going to go find another church where they do. And you know, the curtains, they're so plain. I mean, you know, you could have nice plush velvet curtains, but it's always something major that most churches split over. It's always some kind of a little thing like that. Now, tonight, for the next few minutes, I want to bring you a message on some things that has caused some of the trouble in some of the churches in America. I want to bring a message on the trouble with the churches around. Churches have been a mess in a long time. Somebody said, well, the Baptist church started in Acts chapter 2. Somebody comes along and says, well, no, the Baptist church didn't start in Acts chapter 2. The Baptist church started with John the Baptist. I mean, anybody who believes the Bible can see that. His name was Baptist, so the Baptist church had to start there. And another preacher comes along and he said, no. Said it didn't start in Acts 2. It didn't start with John the Baptist. It started way back in the book of Genesis. Another preacher said, what do you mean, man? The Baptist church in the book of Genesis. Said, yep. Started back here in Genesis 13 where Abraham said, Lot, you go your way and I'll go mine. Amen? And if the Baptist church had an early orientation or a beginning, that's where it began. Now, Baptist churches have been known for that, having some trouble. People always coming up to me and saying, Brother Jim, I can't find a good church. Do you know a good church? Now, what's the problem? What's the trouble? There got to be some troubles, and tonight I'd like to bring a few of the things that have brought trouble in churches in America. Number one, the pulpit. The pulpit. I mean, if we're going to start out, we might as well begin at the beginning. Amen? I tell you what's caused a lot of the trouble in churches in America today is the pulpit right here. We have churches in America today that have men standing behind the pulpit that have no business standing behind the pulpit. We have churches in America that have men standing behind pulpits that have never been saved, have never been called of God, and are standing every week preaching lies and deceiving people and telling them things contrary to the Word of God. And much of the trouble in America today can be traced right to this pulpit and right to this place right here. We live in one of the sorriest times you've ever seen so far as preachers is concerned. We live in a time where you've got to go a long ways and look a long time and search for a good while to really find a true Bible-believing preacher that'll stand and without compromise preach the Word of God. Now, if you think I'm telling you a lie, turn on the radio and try to find one.
If you think there's preachers scattered all over America, travel up and down this country and turn your radio on and see if you can find preachers that preach and believe the Word of God. Man, you can find a bunch of sissies on there. You can find some of them, man, if they had a voice like that, I'd reach down there and scratch my voice to get it rougher. Amen. You ever hear some of them sound like women? I mean, to get on the radio, I wouldn't listen to them. I wouldn't. Why, some of them get on there, they don't more mean what they're saying. They don't mean a word of what they're saying. Listen, pulpits in America today are full of men who don't believe the Bible, don't believe the Word of God, have never been saved, have never been born again of the Spirit of God, have never been called by God to preach, know nothing about preaching, have no convictions, will compromise on anything, and they have no business behind the pulpit. And the trouble in churches in America today has come from men like that getting in pulpits, preaching the Word of God, demanding the respect of the people that listen to them, and they have absolutely nothing but confusion to tell them. And so half the people in America are confused as to what they believe. Brother, we live in a time when American people look for preachers, looking for people that will preach the Word of God, looking for people who will stand without apology for something. And there's a famine in the land. And that famine is a famine for the Word of God. It's a famine for a man who believes the Word of God. It's a famine for a man who will teach the Word of God. A famine for a man who will stand and preach the Word of God. A famine for a man who will stand and stand for the Word of God. A famine for a man who will not correct the Word of God, but believe the Word of God just exactly like it is. Brother, I'll tell you, some of the sorriest people alive today are preachers. Now you say, well, you're hitting yourself. Well, I'll start off there. We'll get around something else in a little bit. Amen. Some of the sorriest people that ever lived are preachers, and some of the greatest trouble that's ever been caused in churches is caused from the pulpit. I read not long ago of an Episcopalian, bless his sweetheart, an article in the paper where he was dancing down the center aisle of his church. Dancing. And he was dancing with a girl in go-go boots or whatever they are. You know, don't look so cross-eyed. Some of you know exactly what they are. Amen. I mean, go-going. You know what that's for? Going. That's what they're for. And here he was dancing down the aisle of that church. You know what he said? He said he was trying to relate to the youth in his church. He was trying to relate to the youth in his church. Sounds so pretty. Doesn't that sound nice? I mean, it sounds like he really has an interest in the youth of his church. Sounds like he really wants to reach the young people in his church. Now, you know what that fellow is? He's a liar and he's a phony. Now, if he wants to reach the youth in his church, I'll tell you how to reach him. Reach him with this book right here. You don't reach him by relating to him. You reach him by preaching and teaching the Word of God to him. Listen, talking about relating, Episcopalian. You imagine what it'd be? Now, what kind of congregation is he going to have? What kind of people is he going to have? I read the other day of a fellow who was a preacher, and I forget what kind he was, doesn't much matter, but he promoted what was called the sensitivity training. This is touch and feel. And you know what he said? This guy's a preacher. And he said, you should touch more people. And he said it would be good if you could get all the preachers together, and the next time they had a fellowship, just all of them take their jackets off and their shirts and just touch each other. Well, I got a case double X says he ain't going to touch me. If I ain't got that, I got a Boker tree brand right here. And if I don't have that, I've got a buck that'll sure buck him. Amen. Ain't no preacher that is saved and called of God knows that all that stuff is of the devil. Yeah. Brother, now what kind of church? The sensitivity training. Touch each other. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to get our young people not to touch each other. Yeah. Well, you're going to have enough petting and slobbering, acting like animals the way it is. Amen. Better keep your cotton picking hands off each other. What you better do. What kind of preacher is that? What kind of man? A man who was an Anglican minister promoted nude bathing. He said, the next time our church meets together, we're going to have a nude bathing party in a backyard. Brother, ought to catch them all in there and shoot the whole bunch. Amen. The first one they ought to shoot is the preacher and stand him up there. Amen. I mean, Jim Jones was a great man compared to him.
what kind of preacher you're going to have. Rex Humbard, the old girdle man himself, amen. You know what he did? He went and visited the Pope. Glory, hallelujah. You know what he said? It was one of the most exciting milestones in my entire life. Something that will be with me as long as I, and I like this last word, live. The Pope was reflecting the love of Jesus Christ, just as we reflect the love of Jesus Christ when we gather together each week by way of television. Well, I tell you what, Bud, I'm not in that we, amen? I don't reflect any of the same love of Jesus Christ that a man does who will let people bow down and kiss him and will damn them to hell. You may reflect it, buddy, but you're looking in a different mirror than I'm looking in. You've got a different reflection than what I've got. As the Pope and I talked together, oh, hallelujah, I sensed more and more, glory to God, that our mission is the same. Can you believe it? To build the body of Christ, to uplift our brethren in the Lord, to win the world for the kingdom. As unbiblical as anything you ever heard in your life. You couldn't find one verse of scripture in the Bible that tells you you're to win the world for the kingdom. Produce it. Find it. Thank you. That's it. That's over and closed. Amen. Class is out. Dismissed. It isn't in there. Listen, there was a time when Rex Humbard would stand on television, reach his hand out there, say, unless you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you're going to die and go to hell, and the only thing that can save you is the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what he did? He sucked in thousands of people on television, won their confidence and got their money, got their support and got their loyalty, and now he sold them off down the river. Tell you what's wrong, the pulpit. That's what's wrong with churches in America today. We've got a bunch of gutless wonders behind the pulpits that have no convictions or compromise over anything, who believe nothing, stand for nothing, and fall for anything that ever comes along. Billy Graham, bless his heart, has been praising the Pope. Billy Graham called the Pope a great evangelist. Amen. He's a great evangelist. Now, if you're Roman Catholic, I've got nothing against the Pope. I'd like to see him get saved. If I ever had an audience with him, I'd try to win him to the Lord. And I'm kind of afraid to have one. I'll send him and tell it like it is or something. But I'd try to win him. A great evangelist. He has said that the Pope has the same message as himself. Not the message I've got. Not the message that I've got. United Presbyterians in America today have said that the Bible has nothing or so little to say on sexual behavior that it's not worth looking at. And anybody can interpret the sexual behavior as taught in the Bible any way you want. And to say that marriage is the normal way of sexual behavior is to oppress the rights of the people. In Canada, the leading Protestant denominations that make up 80% of the Canadian people in America, the preachers believe that homosexuals should be ordained and lent to pastor churches because they have always contributed in a great way to society. Name one, you idiot. Name one. Well, I could think of some black people before I could think of them. Amen. I could think of some good colored people before I thought of them. Amen. And bless your sweetheart, you better believe it. Now, what you going to have when you got men like that standing behind the pulpit? You're going to have the kind of churches you got in America today. People say, why can't we find a church? And listen to me. There's not Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Catholic, bunch of dumb Southern Baptists, bunch of ignorant Independent Baptists, bunch of people that don't believe the Bible, don't believe the Word of God, getting up there, taking people's money, deceiving them, and giving them nothing. I'll tell you what's wrong with the churches, the pulpit. Too many people apologize instead of preaching. Too many preachers socialize instead of witnessing. Too many sissies instead of men, too many chickens instead of lions. That's what's wrong. What's wrong? The pulpits. One of the leading fundamentalists of America said, and I can quote it and show it to you in print, all the translations of the Bible together are the Word of God.
You never heard a more modern, liberal statement made in all your life. The Southern Baptists came out yesterday with an article in the paper. Their convention takes their stand on the infallibility of the Bible. Not one time do those dirty scoundrels mention a Bible in the whole thing. Yes, sir, we believe in the infallibility of the Bible. Well, that's like I say, yes, sir, I believe that that car is the best car there is on the road. I believe it. Yes, sir, that car is it. I believe that car is the best one there is. It's the best price, the best economy. It's the best car you'll ever get. That's the car I drive. That's the car I believe in. That's the car I've got. Yes, sir. That's the car for me. It ought to be the car for you. Yes, sir, go get it. What is it? What is it? What is it? What car is it, man? Listen, if you ain't got the guts enough to say it, shut up and sit down. Then somebody got some guts, stand up and say, I'll tell you what's trouble with America today, the pulpits. The pulpits. God give us some God-called men again. God give us some men who will stand behind the pulpits and believe what they say and say what they believe. God give us some men who have some convictions who will stand. Now, not only is it the pulpit, but it's the pew. Uh-oh. I got a lot of shouting that time. I like to get it on that first point because it gets a little slower from here on. The pew. Now, some of you are going to come to a real realization tonight. And I want you to get it. Listen. You are part of this service. And that deep, man, I'll tell you, I got so many deep things that just amazes me sometimes at all I've got. I've got so many things profound, I've just got to write them down and put it all in book one of these days. You are part of this service. Did you know that? Did you realize that? Now, you say, well, Brother Jim, you know, that's, you just showing, yeah, listen. I've been in churches where people didn't think they were part of the service at all. You face congregations that have sat in front of an idiot box so long and been inactive and not taken part in anything that they forget when they come to the church, hey, bud, you're part of the service, man. Oh, we had a bad service today. What's the matter? The preacher. Oh, he wasn't prayed up. I mean, he didn't preach right. He didn't have good illustration. He's a preacher. Sorry, preacher. Song leader, you know. Brother Reed picked some of the duddiest songs you ever seen in your life. I mean, some of the old dead songs, he picked some lively ones. We'd have picked it up and went on. The pianist, he missed two or three notes. You hear that? I mean, I never heard nothing like that in all my life. Organist, I never heard such a special for an offering. Oh, man, that's just bad. I mean, what's wrong? See? And sometimes people forget you are part of the service. What's going on out there in the pew is part of what's happening in this service tonight. And I'll tell you, when you face a bunch of people that have stayed up till 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning and have sat there watching the idiot box so long that they got 18-inch eyeballs and have watched people get murdered and watch them get shot, raped, all I watch is the sports. Well, they got some of the dirtiest commercials you ever seen on that. They got some of the filthiest junk you ever seen. Some of the most polluted minds that have ever been polluted came through that thing. That thing has done more to destroy the American home than any one thing, and it's done more to destroy America as a nation than almost any one thing you could put your finger on. You go by a little shanty, I'm amazed. Go to Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, some of these places. House, you could look through the cracks in it. Nothing that boy you see. You know what you see? You see an antenna right on top of that roof. Big old color TV, $600 job sitting right in there, man. Kids have no shoes on, hogs running in the front door and out the back, and they just kick them out of the way so they can see their favorite program, amen? And people so long have got that they become passive and inactive and no longer take a part in anything. They come to church and the choir sings. And churches, listen, preachers, the bad thing is that preachers have set it up for them that way. They don't come to church for a church service. They come for an entertainment program. That's right. Da-da-da-da, the choir, and here they come. They march in, they're all robed. That's one of the reasons we didn't have no choir. I had 50 people ask. Dr. Ruffin, he said, are you going to have a choir loft? Are you going to have a choir loft? You all made a mistake. Well, we said, we made a lot of mistakes before. What was it? Well, you didn't put no choir loft in your church. We said, we want our choir to be our congregation. We said, we want them to sing and be part of the service. We don't want them to come out there and sit there and be entertained. And you know that. You go to them churches, they hand you one of them menus, tell you what's going to happen. This going on first, this doesn't sit down, shut up. I mean, just as traditional as anything you've ever seen. And yet, oh, the whole thing is laid out. You know what it is? Just like a program. Just like a program. The whole thing is laid out. It's a production. Now, I'll tell you something. I'll take as much of the blame as anybody for having a bad service. It hurts my soul to have a bad service. I want to have a good one. I don't mean we have to have shout and hollering. I just want the Spirit of God. Now, if that Spirit is evidenced by shouting and hollering, it doesn't bother me. If it does you, then just don't do it. But some of the best services I ever had, there wasn't no shouting and hollering. There was just a lot of tears and conviction. I want the Spirit of God. It grieves my soul when the Spirit of God doesn't move and when it don't happen. I'll take just as much blame as anybody. But how about you? Wouldn't you like to share some of that with me? I mean, people come in Sunday morning. They haven't prayed about the service. They haven't prayed for the preacher. They haven't prayed for the songs. They haven't prayed for the special. They haven't cracked their Bible in 3 days. They haven't done anything spiritual all week long. And then they come in there and say, "All right, preacher, do it to me. I mean, pump me up. In one service, make me a spiritual giant for God. Stir me up." And you know what happens? I'm going to tell you what happens. It takes you till Sunday night before you ever get awake. Amen and amen. Takes you till Sunday night before you ever get stirred and get moving. What's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. Pews. Dad came into his boy one time, and a little boy was over there in the corner playing some kids. He said, "Hey, son," said, "shh, shh." I said, "Well, what's the matter?" Son said, "Well, we're playing church." I said, "Well, that's good. Why you got to be quiet?" He said, "We don't want to wake up all the people that are sleeping." Now, brother, you may do some things here, but I'm going to try to keep you awake. Amen. I've been in churches where the best thing you could do is go to sleep. I mean, you may as well get you some rest while you're there. Amen. I've been in some of them like that. That's a few. Listen, what do you expect? What do some of God's people expect? They haven't had a spiritual thought in a month. They haven't read the Bible consistently in a week. They haven't prayed. They haven't prayed for the preacher. They haven't prayed for the service. They come in with sins unconfessed, unforgiven, unforsaken. Come in with things in their life that are wrong, and then they have a bad service. "Oh, that preacher, boy, I wish he would get right. I wish he'd get some better material and some more messages. I wish he'd get something better to say." The pew. You're facing people that are unconcerned. You're facing people that are hearts as cold as anything you've ever seen, and have been hardened by sin, conscious that have been seared. People that could care less, and are sitting there and drying up on the stalk. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get out of church exactly what you put in it. You come looking for nothing, you'll get it. You'll get it. I'll tell you what, as a Christian, I don't think I've ever come to church where I didn't pray, read my Bible, and come asking the Lord to give me something that I didn't get it. And you see, before you get your bucket full, you got to bring it. Some of you don't ever bring it, see? You go away with nothing because you've got nothing to get it in. And the trouble, some of you, well, you know that preacher. Trouble's in the pew. I'll tell you where another problem is. It's in the program. It's in the pulpit. It's in the pew. And it's in the program. Now, churches today have adopted programs that are not in line with the Word of God. Now, churches today have gone to an extent, I'm talking about independent, Bible-believing, fundamental, premillennial, pre-tribulation, you know, just the whole thing right on down the line, where they will do anything to get somebody to come to church. Let me say this, I think promotion for children is good. I mean, the devil is going to do all he can to promote your children to do wrong. Now, some of you don't agree. It don't matter to me. I know you've been around talking to me, but it doesn't matter to me. Huh? It ain't going to bother me a bit. I think a little bit of promotion and a little bit of motivation for children is fine. I think it's fine. I think it's good. You say, "Well, I don't agree." Well, you have your church one of these days. Run it the way you want, big boy. Grow up. Amen? I mean, you don't like it? All right, it's fine. You'll get your shot this day. I tell you what. I said a lot of things about my old pastor I wish I'd never said.
I've had to hug his neck and apologize 3 or 4 times for words that were just shot out real quick. I learned after he was in the ministry about 25 years, he learned a few things that I didn't know nothing about. I learned I had to eat a lot of words I wish I'd never spit out. So just keep them in there for a while. You may not have to, you know, swallow them one day again soon. But I believe that's all right. But now let me tell you something. Adults, grown-ups, you know, grown-up people, you shouldn't have to give them a sucker to get them to church. You shouldn't have to give them a lollipop to get them to come. You shouldn't have to give some kind of a promotion program. Some of these churches have something going on all the time. They fool God's people into thinking because they got this big, colossal movement pushing, giving you something. The black sheep, the white sheep, the 12 disciples, the 10 commandments, a campaign all the time. They've got you thinking that if you're not there, boy, man, how could you go to that little Bible-believing church where all they do is preach and teach the Word? I mean, all you're getting is the Word. Yeah, amen. Oh, look at us. We get a charm bracelet. Isn't that dandy? Churches, I tell you, they went to such an extreme that it's a mockery to God. It's a shame. Listen, when you talk about promotion, when promotion becomes the basis of your church, you have an unscriptural church. When you head in a position where all you're doing is promoting people and giving away to get them, you have a church that isn't based on the Word of God. God forbid the day that this church is ever built on anything but this book right here. God destroy it. God blow it off the face of the map the day it ever do anything else. And God take down this school the day it ever build on anything else but this book. God take this preacher right here. Take him on home the day he ever tries to build anything except on this book right here. Take him out of the way. Just shoot me. I'll be better off dead with the Lord. Some of the silliest things you ever heard. Water gun Sunday. What this is, you fill your bus up, then all the kids get the water gun and squirt the bus driver. Yeah. And then you have Egg Sunday. If you fill up the bus, all the kids get eggs and throw it at the bus driver. And then they have not tar and feather, but honey and feather. If the whole church meets their promotion goal, they put honey all over the preacher's wife and feather her. Now listen, honey, it ain't never going to happen to you. Amen? I can promise you that. Can't you see that? Grown-ups. Now I can see kids, you know, give them a sucker, a piece of bubble gum. I can see them give them this little thing. They do this, give them this, let them make this. Oh, yeah, children. That's children. But boy, listen, when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away that stuff, man. What you talking about? Looks like, you know, this Sunday if we break our attendance, the preacher's going to swallow a live goldfish. Now listen. If you fillet him just right and turn him over right, I might have something to do with him. But not alive. Not just because you came to church. Ain't no way. Break the record Sunday. Well, we broke this record. Let's break it. It's always associate pastor's head, too, you know? Now let's break this record over the associate. Not over my head. No, sir. Not while I can run or move. Amen. Not while I... That's silliness. Amen. Listen, that's what's wrong with churches today. They build on that. You cannot build an adult church on giveaways. As soon as you run out of giveaways, they're gone. Build them on the Word of God. You know what's wrong with churches in America today? You see them, here they come. And I tell you, it discourages some of the young men that are trying to start a work on the Word of God. Here you get out and knock your head against the wall for 5 years and you got 60 people. What you've been doing, you've been teaching and preaching the Word. All you have, little things for your kids and outings for your young people, but you don't have, you know, something going 3-ring circus every Sunday at your church. So here comes this other independent Baptist, Bible-believing, fundamental, in town. Once he does, he got 3-ring circus every week. I mean, Bozo the Clown's there 1 week, and this guy with his horse is riding down the middle of the church 1 week, and just every Sunday, something going on. Now, what happens? I'll tell you what it does. Confuses God's people. Makes them confused, and then them churches come up, and then they blow up. and they're gone. Then you know why? Because they're built on bubble gum. It seems that churches everywhere are it seems that churches everywhere are doing things today to try to bring their attendance up by giving things away. They're running buses all over town in a way they think is dandy, giving all the boys and girls that ride some bubble gum or candy. And maybe they'll have a contest, give the winner a free plane ride, or offer them a 10-speed bike that would make one swell with pride. God does not use this kind of plan to save one from his sin, but uses visitation to bring the sinner in. So if you're using the unscriptural plan, perhaps you'd better stop, or your rewards in heaven might be just a lollipop. Now, when you think about that, you build it on that, that's what you got. You build it on something like that, promotions, singings. Church is built on singings, songs. I mean, I seen the paper the other day, the world's largest song fest or whatever it was, all night singing. And bring your lawn chairs, and you know, $5 will help. Too, you know, in other words, you won't get in without $5. Leave your chair at home and bring you $5. Amen. We're going to have it. Listen, singing is good. Real singing is fine. Man, I mean, it's good. You better get your people singing and get them singing right, and it'll help your service and help everything that you do in your church. But God didn't say go out and sing them in. No, sir. The means through which he saves is by preaching the gospel. God didn't say sing the gospel, he said preach it. You say, well, I know somebody that got saved by a song. That's wonderful. That's good. We sing invitation songs and the words will convict your heart. But God's way is through preaching the word of God. Buildings. That's the wrong program. We got a church here in town that built a big Assembly of God building. I don't know, $2 or $3 million in a building. You know, that church has a congregation of about 500 people. I'll tell you, we could use about 25 of those 500, amen. You get a church of 500 people, build a church $3 million. Somebody got a little bit in their pocket somewhere, you know what I mean? Got some money. And you know what? They had an old whole article in the paper Saturday. Did you see it? The wonderfully charismatic. Wonderfully, wonderfully charismatic. I never seen anything wonderfully charismatic in all my life. And you know what they did? They showed the pews, the building. They showed the chandeliers. They showed how much it cost. And that was the whole thing. This wonderful new building. That's the wrong program. That's the wrong program. Listen, build yours on the Word of God. What's wrong with the churches, the pulpit, the pew, the program? Last of all, the product. The product. What's wrong with churches? I'll tell you what's wrong is the kind of people that are being turned out from churches. The product, the Christian people that are coming out of the churches in America today. Christian people all over this world are hungry for the Word of God. Now, you say, I don't believe it. Well, you just don't know much about real Bible-believing people. Real people that believe the Bible are hungry for the Word of God. They're tired of all this other stuff. Man, I mean, they've had it up to here with all this other church organization and buildings and things that go on inside of churches. You know what they're hungry for? They're hungry for the meat of the Word of God. Now, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't know much about Christian people. Dr. Ruckman, he go all around this country. I mean, he goes all around. He could be gone literally 52 weeks. I mean, he could be gone every week in the year with no problem whatsoever. He could be gone every week in the year and probably never speak in a church with less than 300 or 400 people in it. Now, why? Is it his kind personality and winning ways? Is it that smiling handshake that he gives you? and the encouraging words of positive thinking by which he appeals to your heart. Huh?
What is it? I'm going to tell you something.
There's people that hate him that come to hear him. I mean, there's people who wouldn't spit on him if he's on fire. Amen. They wouldn't. But I tell you what, they'll come to hear him. And you know why? They're tired of all this foolishness. They're tired of Sunday morning and Sunday night here in John 3:16, Romans chapter 3, and Romans chapter 6. They've heard salvation so much and got nothing but the milk of the Word so long that when a guy comes along with the meat and has this book, they'll gather to him. Amen and amen. Why? I've even had some of them come out to hear me. Now that's something, amen. I mean, I'm good looking, nice, friendly. I mean, I preach nice, positive appeal messages and everything, just all the time. But I've even had them come out to hear me. I've had them come out to hear me knowing who I was associated with and what school I was from. And they say, we came out to hear you because we know we're going to hear some word, and we don't hear much of it where we go. Now, you know what's wrong? Churches in America are turning out milksop Christians. They're not grounded. They're not rooted and settled in the Word of God. The Bible said when persecution comes because of the Word, by and by they're offended and they're gone. You want to know why so many of these big churches are baptizing 300 and 400 a year? I'll tell you why. Because they got 500 going out the back door. You say, I don't like that. I don't care whether you like it or not. It's the truth. They're producing a bunch of light, sissy, Christian people who can't take it on the chin. The product. Now, what you want to produce is some soldiers. You want to get you a foot army, an army of men ready to go. You want to have you some soldiers that are ready for combat. Now, the reason the churches in America have trouble is because the Christians that come out from these churches have not been fed, nourished, and strengthened with the Word of God. The Bible said the time come for you to teach somebody else. You have need that somebody else sit down and teach you what be the principles of Christ. You have to go back to the basic things once again. I'll tell you what, if you took the average Christian in the average independent Baptist church and set him down and asked him some questions about the Bible, you would be surprised at the ignorance of God's people. And I'm speaking lovingly because I love them. I love all of you here tonight. You may not believe it, but I do. I love every one of them. The preacher thinks just because he preaches and says something about it, they get it. But it's not always so. Listen, Christian people are drying up spiritually, and the product that comes out of those churches cannot endure hardness as a good soldier. And the reason is they're getting the Word. They're not rooted and grounded in the Word. Now, our church here is a little bit unusual. It's different. They say variety is the spice of life. Well, we want you to be real spicy. Amen. I mean, we'll give you a little bit of something. You like a little hillbilly twang? Just sit there. We'll give it to you. You like something that's on an operatic thing? Well, we had a girl here not long ago, near an operatic voice. I mean, all these kids going like that down here on the front row. I mean, the speaker's vibrating. I mean, she had that thing up there. You know, I don't know much about music. I know something. They hit these keys here a minute ago, and I don't know what that meant, but she knew what they meant, and they got going. And You got it. You want a little variety? You have it. You want a little something that's different? You have it. But I'll tell you what we're trying to do. We're trying to produce some Christians who are individual soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the time comes, you can dig in a foxhole and take a stand by yourself. That's what we need, some soldiers. We need some Christians that can stand. But let me tell you something. There's going to come a time when every one of you, you're going to have to stand alone. There's going to come a time when your preacher won't be around. Nobody will either. There's going to come a time, a young fellow came and talked to me a few weeks ago, brokenhearted and convicted.
He said he tried to run from God and tried to hide from God. You know what he said? He said, I come to reality that I had to come face to face with God, and I had to deal with Him on an individual basis. He said, I come to realize that it was just me and God. You know what it is? That's it. Brother, you better get rooted, grounded, settled in the Word of God and know what it is. The trouble in churches comes from the pulpit, comes from the pew, comes from the program, and it comes from the product that modern churches are turning out in America today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Now, Father, we thank you tonight for this chance that we've had to meet and look at the Word of God. And Lord, I know, and it breaks my heart that churches are in such a condition that they're in America. And Lord, I wish that all the churches in America today were believing and teaching and preaching the Bible, but they're not. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, as members of this church or members of a church wherever we may be, help us to do all we can to make that church what it ought to be. Lord, may we just come to realize that just not the preacher and the deacons, but the church is made up of the people that are in it. And Lord, if there's trouble with the church, that means there's trouble with the people that are in it. Lord, we pray that you'd help us. Help us not to have trouble. Help us be of the same mind. Help there be no divisions, envy, and strife. Help these things not to come. And we pray that you'd help us to join hands together to do something for you until you come again. We know the devil is going to do all he can to destroy, to uproot, and to mess up the work that you've given us to do. Lord, we pray that you'd uphold it by your power and by your might. And I pray for these young men that are here that you call to preach, and the other men that you're going to put in the ministry and the work. Lord, may they build their church on the right foundation. May they base it on the right type of program. May they, as a preacher, make sure that the pulpit stays right. May they challenge their people to try to keep those that sit in the pew right. May they try to turn out some products that are real soldiers for thee. Bless the message and honor the Word of God tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you and good night.